from my spare room in Sacramento. This is Paintball Ruined My Life Live with Brad Johnson. Tonight, an NXL rules investigation. The NXL finally switched to limited paint. And of course, more pro news.
Good evening. We have paintball stuff to talk about. We're going to do a rules investigation. Maybe you could tell by that intro, actually, we're going to talk about a rules investigation. I've been kind of, curious about the NXL and kind of talking about the out-of-bounds situation. There was a World Cup game where someone went out of bounds. We're going to discuss that. We're going to talk about pro news. We have leverage-making news, making moves. We have the ICPL announcing dates and limited paint in the pro division. We have pros making more money in the pro division. We have companies going out of business. And, But without further ado, we're going to thank BFPgear.com. I'm all over the place. And, they just got a bunch of Hydra stuff in. So, maybe if you have not seen this Hydra stuff in real life, you can go check it out either at two locations they have. If we actually move the mouse over, you can see that they're in stock at Extreme Paintball in Modesto and in stock at Sec Paintball. I like to say that they have stuff in stock at those actual physical locations. So, if you're nearby, you can go actually try stuff on. You can see the new Hydra mask. That thing's actually kind of on off about it. It's a little expensive, but it is kind of neat. The Hydra black knee pads, you can go try those on. But if you don't actually live close to, either of those physical locations, you can always order stuff, and that always will ship for free if it's over $29. I was going to say everything ships for free, but that'd be crazy. If you order stuff over $29, it'll ship for free. Think about BFPgear.com next time you're going to, buy some paintball stuff. BFPgear.com. There's links in the descriptions of all these videos. And all kinds of stuff. And, first of all, we weren't supposed to do a live stream today because I was supposed to go skiing. But, that got postponed and we're going to go tomorrow. It's frozen. What's frozen? Are we really frozen? Let me know if it's actually frozen. I don't know if we're actually frozen. And then I'll progress once the chat lets me know we're not dead. No frozen. Okay. Not frozen. Okay. What is this video, Julian? This is a live stream where we talk about paintball stuff. Okay. I don't know. What should be the first thing we talk about? I have something I want to get ready that I literally just remembered that I did not set something up. So we'll set that up later when we actually get to it. I don't know. Let's just do this in order. This off season has been absolutely crazy. We've gotten so many. We got to talk about that too. Did I put that in my notes? I got to put that in my notes really fast so I don't forget. Okay. This off season's just been nuts. And we have a few other moves, stuff that I'm not hyper familiar with though, but we'll just let it run and I'll just talk. Leverage has added two new players in Rob and Joseph, although I always hear him still Josie Altimore. So Rob Altimore and Josie Altimore are going to be joining Leverage. Both of those guys have kind of been on the same team together for a long time. Giving their brothers, they've kind of just, that's ended up happening. Both played for the Brooklyn Bears, Seattle Thunder, and then last year with Chicago Aftershock. And then Patrick Sinelli, who's been coaching for quite a few years in various other pro teams. He coached for New York Extreme for nearly 4 years, from 2018 to 2022. 2022. Also coached Seattle Thunder that same 2022 year, and then spent some time with the Brooklyn Bears 2023 and 2024. Leverage, you know, one of the newer pro teams, but not awful. You know, Leverage will pull up the 2025 standings here, and we're going to try out my new telestration as well. Cross your fingers and hope this works. It's already not working. Okay. Let's close it and then try it one more time. There we go. You can see Leverage. Let's go to the highlighter setting. You can see Leverage right there in 16th place overall. Obviously, those first two tournaments were not so great, getting last place. But certainly picking it up and playing a little better, getting that 15th, obviously 18th is not so great. But taking 11th place in World Cup's pretty good, especially when we're getting probably higher competition at World Cup by adding those four additional European teams like Breakout Spa and Joy Division, the Lucky 15s. I guess Papalotto's not European. But adding those four other teams, makes it even more difficult. So I think Leverage, just adding more experience to their roster, because obviously they're that newer team that doesn't have tons of experience. They do have Chris Caputo, who's very good. Ricky Moran and Alfred De Los Santos, also kind of a veteranish, maybe kind of a little more experienced than a lot of the guys on Leverage. So Leverage just adding some new players. Probably good for Leverage. We have the ICPL with their four dates this year. They're going to go to the Ambush Paintball Park in Moorpark, California, April 10th to the 12th. I'm looking to going to that. Windy City Classic is going to take place at the historic, legendary Badlands Paintball Field outside of Chicago. The Pittsburgh Open Classic at Urban Assault outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And the Classic Cup at OXCC, another fantastic field, in Maryland, October 2nd. Through the 4th. We can see right there, there is Classic 10-man, and they're also going to do Classic 5-man. These should all be in the woods, I think. You know, I don't know if Ambush actually has a woods ball field, Ambush Paintball Park. Badlands certainly does. Urban Assault, I assume, do. Yeah, they do, for sure, right? And then OXCC certainly do as well. OXCC used to host NPPL tournaments, I believe. I think the PSP has also been there in the past. I don't really have anything like set up for this, but I don't know why I don't actually have anything set up for this. Well, we got some news last week and a little bit more today, sort of, about the Pro Division. So one thing we've been obviously kind of clamoring about for a very long time, I mean, 15 years, it seems like, I've wanted limited paint in the Pro Division, and they're finally going to do it. The NXL Pro are going to shoot 5 pods in a hopper. You know, I don't know, 5 pods in a hopper still seems like a lot, but it's a improvement. The one thing that I don't like about limited paint, or the one thing I don't like about unlimited paint, is it just looks stupid, right? I mean, it just looks dumb. And I don't think it, like, improves the game at all. I don't think that you can shoot 9 pods at a bunker and it, like, improve paintball. Ambush has hidden fields up the hill where the speedball fields are. There we go. I've never actually been to Ambush, so I don't really know. I just think of, you know, Southern California, and woods do not come to mind. So, yeah, limited paint, I like it. I think that the unlimited stuff just looks dumb. Like, us shooting a case of paint at a bunker just looks stupid. It's the dumbest thing ever. I don't think it's fun. I don't really think it's good. So going to limited paint will, I think, improve the quality of the actual games, right? I think that us just watching matches will be better with limited paint. It's been happening in Europe forever, and it's not dramatic, but I do think it is an improvement. I also really think it just looks better. It just doesn't look as stupid. And I don't think, like, yeah, like for us, it doesn't really, I don't think, affect much. For me, certainly, because I'm not playing pro, but even at that pro level, I don't really think it matters all that much. So I really like going to limited paint. I kind of wish it was like two pods and a hopper. I think that would be great. I mean, I'd go for a hopper and a pod, you know, personally. I think that'd be kind of cool. The pros are also this year going to make $15,000 for first place. Certainly not the biggest prize package that the pro division has ever seen, but it's an improvement from only the $8,000 they made last year. So a tipping up into that 15 mark is definitely way better. I mean, that means that, you know, most players at least will get $1,000 if they win. But to be able to pay for that increased prize package, they're also going to have to increase the price of entry for the pro division. 15K divided by 20 people, it's probably like 12. It's probably like 12 people. Because most teams don't have like 10 actual players, you know, and then they might have like three staff or something like that. So, but yeah,
for sure.
It's better than like $8,000 between 20 people. Yeah. Cole says in the chat, if the NXL does it, the regional leagues will probably follow. I kind of hope so. But it is just the pros at this point, too. It's not the lower divisions. We might see it next year, though. That's probably something that is common, that we might see, like, rules or changes made to the pro division first, and then trying to trickle down into the divisional stuff. So it's very possible that if it works well in the pro division, if people like that limited paint stuff, that it would trickle down into going into those divisional things. Yeah. I kind of hope so, though. $15,000 and limited paint. Are they standardized pod sizes? I know, I thought about that as well. I don't know. Probably not, you know? Probably not, because, Eric, I just saw your name and I totally remembered you guys were texting me earlier. The way early this morning, and I just totally forgot. I'll reply. Yeah, standard pod sizes, who knows? Because there are certainly pods that hold more, but, you know, everything's about 140 to 150. So it wouldn't be, like, a dramatic difference. If companies started coming out with, like, you know, 200-round pods, I could foresee them, like, you know, making an actual rule. Yeah, but who knows? Yeah, Brunkaloos or whatever, 5-plus hopper will make no discernible difference. That's kind of how I feel. I feel that, like, I just feel it won't look as dumb, you know? But I don't think the gameplay will really change all that much, for sure. For sure. We'll talk about this right now. I am looking for somebody. I'm looking for somebody. We'll just read this. So I'm looking, oh, I'll just talk, I don't know. I'm looking for somebody that can help me find sponsorships for this YouTube channel. That's why I put Hunter in the top. It was going to be Sponsor Hunter, because it's someone that's like looking for sponsors and stuff. You can kind of read that stuff in there. So obviously I need someone that's able to email and good at contacting people and, you know, professional over emails. Somebody that would be willing to contact paintball companies and try to get sponsorships for this channel. There's a bunch of different ways we can do it. Obviously, if someone was to do this, we'd talk and, you know, figure out all the different stuff. But I think that an ideal person would probably be someone who maybe worked in sales before, or, I don't know, real estate, or someone that's had experience like contacting companies. We can go over all these, really. You got to move past the contact us forms, and we got to actually find the people that are responsible for, you know, the actual advertising and stuff, which I can help with, but that'd be something we'd probably tackle together. Reaching out to the companies both in and outside of paintball, because, you know, maybe there's some companies that we could contract outside of this that would be interested in sponsoring that would kind of line up. You know, I think of like energy drink companies or stuff like that. We'd have to handle all the back and forth emails, obviously. So those companies that are emailing us back. Yeah, checking specs means like spec sheets that will, that's an advertising thing. Getting stuff ready to sign, keeping all the contacts in order so we can kind of like, you know, understand what's happening. We need kind of, you need to make like a database of companies and stuff. And obviously knowing the channel and just how stuff would fit. But I think anyone who's watching this is probably kind of understands. I like this. You're already a fan. This is kind of the same. These two. Why am I? I'm like trying to illustrate on the screen and it's totally not working. I want it to be like this. Like these two right here are kind of the same thing. You know, you got to have an understanding. That's that organized person. If you were a sales or real estate person, you're probably organized. Then there's that background in sales, account manager stuff. Or you're just hustler. You know, you get stuff done. Like, I don't feel that I don't have sales or account management background. You know what? This is something I could do. I just don't have the time. So we got to try to offload some of this so I can actually make YouTube videos rather than doing all this clerical work. And aren't afraid of getting no's because definitely, you know, companies are going to turn us down. It hasn't really happened all that often, but it definitely does. This would be money too. So this would be a commission-based thing as well. So if you get sponsors, you get a percentage of the sponsor. It's about how that goes. And it should be worth it. You know, I think that we have enough spots we could put advertisements and sponsor stuff that it would be worth it to, you know, someone who could do it. I don't want to necessarily talk about what you would be paid. I don't know, just because I think it's weird. But it would be worth it. So if you are interested, certainly think about emailing me right there at brad@paintballruinedmylife.com. Yeah, I think it's fairly easy. You know, it's not like a ton of crazy work. It's just like stuff that I don't want to think about. And I want to try to offload some other things as well. So this is one thing that I'm trying to look for. If you like paintball, if you, you know, whatever, if you're curious, please email me. At Brad at Paintball Ruined My Life. Yeah. Chris, you could do it. Yeah. Send me your application. I'm serious. I mean, whoever, you know, whoever. It's, you know, it's all, it's two things, right? It's up to you, really, how much money you could make. Because if you actually do a good job and can get sponsors, then, you know, you can make money too. We also have to have somebody that's like, you know, good at representing the channel and know that you're talking for me. Don't just be like, hey, fucking assholes, and like, you know, go crazy on a person. Chris, you might know someone. Cole and Chris, I got your names mixed up. Yep. Some brain says, I have that kind of Rolodex, but I'm not wasting any of it on paintball. Those entities would be confused with the upside. I don't know. I just need paintball companies, so. Yeah, there's definitely, I see some brains, some about gambling and stuff. Yeah, we definitely want to like not have those sponsors too. Ideally, it would be all paintball companies, but we'll see. Is this considered more of a full-time? Oh yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. I mean, I think that's why I'm like, it's not a ton of work. That's why I'm like, it's really just answering emails, you know, and you're not going to answer emails full-time, you know. I mean, it could be full-time, I guess, but I can't imagine. I couldn't imagine you only needed to spend a few hours a week or a handful of hours a week, you know? Fleshlight? Chris, fleshlight or flashlight? I mean, I might do peptides. I wouldn't be, like, opposed to peptides. I don't know about... I would actually do Viagra, too. I got no problem with Viagra. I don't know about DraftKings. I got a little... I don't know about the gambling. I'm not a huge fan of gambling. I don't know if gambling's the greatest thing we can be doing. Okay, so we're going to talk about another thing, but I got to get it ready really fast because I totally forgot to put something in here. So I'm going to talk and actually... go here really fast. I'm going to talk. Okay, hold on. I'm going to talk while I look for something. So I need to go here. I'm looking for a highlight that I downloaded earlier.
Kills.
Right there, of Jacob Edwards. I'm going to put that there. And we'll just pull this like that. Okay. We'll go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. Okay. So, NXL World Cup 2025. This is a two-on-two. We have... Jason Edwards in that top. No, not Jason Edwards in the top. Jason Edwards right there on our screen. I'm fixing something else. Jason Edwards right there on our screen. And then we have Jacob Edwards in the snake corner to his left. This was probably one of the cooler moves of the tournament. And we have Paintball Fit. Bringing it to a two-on-two right there. They shot somebody out of the snake. They have a paintball fit guy, I believe, in the snake corner. And then John Chavez over in the Dorito right there. You can see him on the screen. We have Jacob right now running out of the back corner. You can see him right there. Able to bunker out right there in the top corner. Bang. Shoot Scott Stewart, maybe? I don't know. And then it is able to stop. Gets that shot in Chavez. Bang, bang, bang. Then he gets that shot in Chavez. But much of the controversy came right here, where to me, he... visibly steps out of bounds. Oh man, I forgot I had to have Photoshop open too. Okay, where he visibly steps out of bounds, right? I mean, there's a foot, his back foot is on the line right there. Bang, out of bounds, out of bounds. So both of those steps right there, to me, are clearly out of bounds. But one of the problems is that the NXL... trying to do something else too right now. The NXL inside their rule book are not very clear about what out of bounds actually means. And I'm going to get something else really fast because I am not prepared like I thought I was. Every single time we do a live stream, something just does not go as I want. Got to go here real fast. I thought I saved this and put this up earlier, but I guess I did not. There's so many moving parts of these things. Like, I just lose track of shit sometimes, you know? Okay, we're opening this really quick so I can show something else in a second. Okay. One of the problems, yes, with the NXL rulebook is it really doesn't explain what out of bounds actually is. You know, if this was the NFL, you'd be out of bounds, right? That player would be out of bounds. If you were running down the field with the ball and you touch the line, you're out of bounds. The same thing is true with the NBA, right? You touch the line if you've got the ball and you're out of bounds. In the NBA too, you can't just go out of bounds and stand out of bounds. You have to make like an effort to get back in bounds as quick as you can if you don't have the ball. Same thing with the NFL, the same thing with lacrosse, the same thing with rugby. Baseball is a little weird because there's no out of bounds in baseball. You know, the only thing close to out of bounds you get with like a foul ball, right, where the ball touches the line. Something like that. So in baseball, there's no out of bounds. In soccer, it's a little bit different. You know, in soccer, they don't really count your body as being out of bounds, so you can go out of bounds. They just dictate if the ball is like all the way over the line or not. So the ball has to go all the way out, like over the line, to be out of bounds. It's a little bit different. Volleyball, you know, it's also weird. But none of these sports are anything like paintball, right? I mean, you don't have like a ball. There's no like focal point, you know? So in the NBA, in the NFL, you can go out of bounds, but not if you have the ball. But in paintball, there's, you know, no ball. So we kind of are all playing at the same time, right? Like in the NBA, it'd be like if everybody had a basketball, right? Everybody is kind of vulnerable to going out of bounds. And the NXL don't really, like I said, don't really stipulate what out of bounds means. So this is the first spot in the rule book where they talk about, you know, going out of bounds. They say, C, going out of bounds or moving the boundary tape, you can be eliminated for. Okay, that's one of them. The next mention of going out of bounds is the same thing. It's just like reiterated in eliminations. So going out of bounds or moving the boundary tape. There's another one where you can get a minor suspension, where if you're out of bounds and you're like shooting players on the field, you know, you can get a suspension for that. So, you know, if you're out of bounds, don't just start shooting people, because apparently you can get a minor for that. And if you do get a minor for that, it forces your team to play with four players the next point as well. It's not like a regular minor. Because it is a minor suspension, I should say, not a minor penalty. And that's all. It doesn't say anything else about anything about the boundary line or what actually is out of bounds, right? Is out of bounds touching the line? Is out of bounds going all the way over the line? Is it like straddling the line? Can you like be over, can your body be out of bounds, but as long as you're like hanging over the boundary line, is that in bounds? You know, there's nothing about it. And it's caused confusion on the internet, you know. Here's a few comments that people commented on that exact play on my Facebook page, and there's, I think, a YouTube comment on here. But like this guy, he says it's not out of bounds. The rules state out of bounds, yet not clear what is considered out of bounds. Therefore, it's the ref's discretion. Clean player, valid point, and not out of bounds. By the rules, 100% he's right. But it shouldn't be up to the ref's discretion if you're out of bounds, right? That seems crazy. It's like a definitive line. Are you out or not? Like, it shouldn't be up for interpretation if you're over the line or not. It should be like yes or no. It should be a very clear thing. It shouldn't be a ref's discretion whether you're out of bounds. And then this one, no ref is going to call him out. Nor should they, unless it was out of bounds by a mile. That's just ridiculous. Because if you're out of bounds, you're out of bounds. You know, imagine in the NFL, if they're like, oh yeah, you know, he wasn't out of bounds by a mile, so he's good. You know, you can run around the out of bounds line all you want. Like, no. His foot is on the boundary line, not outside of it, therefore he's good. So, you know, he thinks that it should be all the way over or something. Depends on your definition of out of bounds. The NXL rulebook just states a player is eliminated by going out of bounds or moving the boundary tape. We are most We are most used to the line being out, such as basketball or football. However, there are a lot of sports like baseball, tennis, and soccer where the ball or the player have to be completely outside the boundary. Well, a lot of those sports, there are no out of bounds, right? There's no out of bounds in baseball. There's no out of bounds in tennis. But yeah, there is that out of bounds line in soccer where you have to be completely over the boundary. So there's just a lot of confusion. What the hell out of bounds is. I also thought it was funny that today I was watching very briefly. Oh my God. Oh, I might have screwed it all up. Okay, we're good. I'm trying to move Photoshop over to this other monitor. I also saw that today on the Play the Game podcast, they were talking about bringing out of bounds stuff too, which is kind of crazy because, you know, I didn't know they were doing that and I had this whole thing all planned out. We're going to make this smaller. I can't actually see. Can't see like the freaking window. Gotta bring it over so I can see my toolbar. Okay, this is Adobe Photoshop, right? Adobe Photoshop. And I just want to illustrate kind of boundary lines and like what is happening here. And something else a little weird. So the NXL field we can see right over here is 150 feet by 120 feet. So it's 150 feet long by 120 feet. So that means that each one of these squares is 10 feet, right? So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 150 feet, right? So if we were to zoom in and we were to take our square marquee tool and let's say we just take this random square. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to copy this, everything in here, I'm going to copy, right? Ooh, I just realized I can't see my layers. We're going to move that over just a smidgen. And we can see right there, right? There's that copy of it right there. But so we can see it and line it up a little bit better, we're going to make it transparent. And if we move it over, we can see if we line those up perfectly, right? We can pretty much line them up. Pretty perfect. I mean, that's as close as we're going to get just by, you know, the sheer whatever. So this is 10 feet to 10 feet. So this means that like right here, right there is the actual border of the field. So this black line on the inside of this black line is where the actual field dimensions start counting. So outside of this line, even just a smidge, right? Even a quarter of an inch on the outside of that line, the inside is going to make you out of bounds. So if you touch the line at all, you have exceeded the boundaries of the playing field. So I think that if you touch any line on the field at all, anywhere, you are out of bounds because you've exceeded the boundaries of the playing field. So I don't know. I think that he was out of bounds. I think that if you touch the line, you're out of bounds. I also think it's very weird how I think technically the bunker, the start gate is out of bounds too. Just noticed that like the start gate is also out of bounds. So I think the rule book should be probably rewritten, however it's rewritten, just to make it clearer for players so we understand what's out of bounds. And I don't know, just make it clear. I don't know if I'm right or wrong or, you know, whatever. Maybe we do make it. You have to be like 2 feet out or something like that. Like 2 feet have to be all the way out or something, whatever. But just making it clearer so that people know. I personally like the idea of it's out of bounds. You're out of bounds. Like you just can't go off the field, right? It doesn't make any sense to have like the field be 150 feet by 120 feet. But you know, you can really play like 152, you know, like It should be 150 feet. If you go off of the field, you're out. I don't see how, like, it should be any interpretation. You step on the line, you're out. I'm very passionate about this. How it goes. What are you guys talking about? Chris Martin, paint lines on the field like the NFL. You step on the bounds, you step out of bounds. You get a minor. I don't know about a minor. They do paint the lines, but they just, you know, kind of ghetto. Make it if you pass the home bunker, you're out. They also, Marcelo also made a very good, I was actually going to try to play that PTG thing and talk about it. Marcelo also made a very good point that a lot of players will, like, dive over the start gate. You know, you're running, and you're, like, you're running at the start gate to hit the buzzer, and you, like, hit the buzzer, bang, and then you, like, fly over out of bounds. Like, is that person out of bounds? And, like, I say no, because as soon as you hit the buzzer, the game is over. Like, no matter what happens, like, you hit the buzzer, it's over. But also what's happening is guys are getting eliminated for, like, walking off the field before the ref checks them, or, like, putting on their barrel cover even after the, like, buzzer is hit. So it's a little bit of a weird situation. And you're like, if you have a hit on you and they hit the buzzer, the game is technically over. So I don't know. The game is technically over. So even if you have hits on you, you shouldn't be called for those hits. I don't know. Trozen had repainted the lines right before the finals even. Points over when you hit it. I agree. Well, points over when we hit the buzzer. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he repainted the lines even. That's probably why we can see him, you know? I mean, if they were to not paint the lines ever, right, not repaint those lines ever, we probably wouldn't even be able to see them at all, just because the game is so, like, look at that line. It's actually pretty good. You know, you're probably not going to get, like, much better than that. I mean, that's really good. But again, why have the lines if we're just going to be, like, you know, winging it? I don't know. I just remember watching this live and being like, oh, he's out of bounds. You know? But I'm even okay with, like, I do think it's out of bounds. Like, I think it's out of bounds, but I'm even okay with it if it's not, right? I get it if we're like, oh, we're just trying to have the boundaries there so that we're like, there's a spirit of the game kind of thing, right? Where we just want to try and be kind of in the boundary line, right? And Tom Cole on PTG was saying that you know, guys that are running really fast, it's difficult for them to stop their momentum, like Jacob right here. But I don't know, don't run out of bounds. You know, like, I don't know. I think don't run out of bounds. Like, yes, it's hard, but I don't know, you know. It's also hard for NFL players to, like, catch the ball in bounds. That's why they, like, do the double toe tap thing and barely stay in bounds, you know. We're not going to make it the field wider just because it's more difficult, or it's gotten difficult for them to catch the ball. I don't know, but I'm okay. I get it if we want to stay in, like, you know, just. But I think it needs to be clear. It shouldn't be like a ref discretion. It should be like 2 feet totally out of bounds or something, or it shouldn't be like 1 foot beyond the boundary. It needs to be like a clear, obvious thing that you're out of bounds. Not like, well, he's not that far. You know, I don't know. Just make it clear. Cole, it would be out of bounds in the NFL or the NBA. It would be. If you have the ball, right? Only if you have the ball, though. Yeah. Yeah, they just need to make it more clear, that's all. And this hasn't really ever been a problem, you know? It's like, I don't know, this is the first time I think it's ever, like, really come up. But that's kind of the point, right? You know, if we were to look at, I was reading the NBA rule book earlier, and it's crazy. I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's so complicated. And it's so complicated because they keep having situations come up where they need to rewrite the rules and, like, make new rules or make them clearer or whatever. And, you know, Same thing might be happening here. We can't compare paintball to other sports. Well, we can. I mean, it's hard, but you've got to try. It is difficult, but yeah. Who knows? What's some brain say? 100%. We need to allow fighting to settle on field arguments like hockey. I mean, I was going to say, how about like a Mexican standoff, but I'm like, God, you get guys standing there forever. It's like, nobody really cares. So yeah. The old, who knows if it's out of bounds or not? Who knows if it's out of bounds or not? And we can hit that one. You know, on this YouTube channel, I got lots of merch I can sell. I guess I can sell it, you know. We got lots of headbands, barrel covers. There you go. Where are all the headbands? I have like a big pile of them there out there. Headbands and barrel covers, there are very few of these barrel cover or headbands left. They're $30 each, only $30. There's a 3-pack you can get for $75. They're made of 100% cotton. Should have some hopefully new merch products coming out very soon. And when I have those, I probably will burn the rest of these headbands if there's any left. So if you want one and you want to help support this channel, let's get rid of these headbands. Follow that link right there on the screen. You know, there's a link in the description too. You can get yourself a high quality, affordable headband and support your favorite paintball YouTube channel. Bring back the penalty box. I'd like to see the penalty box come back too. I like the penalty box. All about the penalty box. I thought it was really fun. Chris, the NXL needs a governing body committee. Yeah, I think I read that already. I shouldn't say anything. I don't know. They might. Honestly, I don't really know. I really don't know. I mean, I know that Tom Cole and Jason Trozen often make the decisions. But it would seem sort of wise when making big decisions about, you know, asking everybody. C-Max says, I'm really hoping they drop the pod limit that they will open up the field a little bit more. Please bring back old school layout. It probably might make a slight difference. I mean, they've been using the NXL in Europe, have been doing limited paint for a long time. So we haven't seen a huge change there, but I think it's a little bit better. It might speed it up a little bit. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going to make a difference. If anything does or it needs to, you know, I don't know. I think removing some of the bunkers would make a little bit of a difference. Just a couple. I mean, they got so many goddamn bunkers in the field now. It's crazy. It's almost like difficult to move around. Does anyone make camo paintball clothing anymore? Ooh, paintball real tree. Not really. Not that I know of. There might be like a handful of companies making like, you know, camo jerseys sorta, but not really. No, that's another problem. That's a whole nother problem. So I'm going to probably do this for channel members here on YouTube. So if you want to see this video, think about becoming a channel member. You can do that by following that link right there. Or, you know, on your phone or wherever you are, there's a join button on the YouTube channel. You get limited access or early access to stuff. I was going to say limited edition videos. I don't know why. Members only videos. Like this video that I will likely make members only. It is going to be the death of the intermediate player. The intermediate paintball player is dead, and we're the ones who buried them. I say the intermediate player is dead. That kind of has to do with that... Evil Gerbil, okay. He has camo stuff. He makes a lot of cool stuff. Okay, well, there's people making camo. I was going to say the intermediate player is dead, and that kind of reminds me of... What the hell happened here? We have, like, stuff turned on. Whoa. I don't know what the heck happened. It just reminds me that of this video I was thinking about earlier, but... Chris, you're an intermediate player, so am I. You know, I would consider myself that kind of in-between. You know, I'm not a beginner, but I'm not like a tournament. I'm not like a tournament player. But, you know, that's something I've talked about for a long time, right? Is that, like, the industry is focused so much on, like, these tournament players and stuff like that, that they kind of, like, forgot about the average rec player or just, you know, the guy who plays once a month or whatever. And I think that in doing that, right, focusing so much on these tournament players, the industry has suffered, right? I don't think we have as many players today because of, like, the focus on, like, getting people to go play the NXL and, like, playing tournaments, you know, like... We've, like, forgotten about that intermediate player in a way. And I think that that's also why you've seen a reduction in these companies making camo. Because at one point, there were quite a few of the bigger companies had, like, lots of different camo, right? You had specific paintball camo pants and jerseys from Empire and Valken, and HK made it. So now none of them do. I think it's because... people aren't buying that stuff like they used to, right? The industry has changed a little bit, and that's true for the tournament players as well. The tournament players aren't really buying jerseys and pants and stuff the way they were 10 years ago. It's become a little bit more simple, right? And I think the guys that are buying, would have been buying that camo stuff, they're kind of just, I don't know what the hell they're doing. They're buying just random camo at, like, the Army Navy surplus or whatever. Cause I'm that, like, intermediate-ish player, you know, I'm not trying to go play tournaments. I'm not a beginner, you know? So it's like, I don't know. I would definitely consider myself an intermediate player as well. Finish says, play all types of paintball a few times a month, but never play any tournaments. That's pretty much what I mean by, like, intermediate, you know, maybe you even play a tournament every once in a while, but you're not, like, at the tournament, at the field, just playing tournament paintball, like airball every single weekend and getting ready for a tournament. You know, it's like, I'm not that guy. And most of the people that I play paintball with play like every weekend, and they're not really those people either. The biggest problem I've had since I came back is that it's very hard to get a group to play some airball. Used to be able to do pickups, like pickup games, and those fields with whoever was there. I don't know of your specific field, but that's, again, something else I've talked about for a long time. So, like, for example, here in Northern California, right, there's quite a few tournament fields I can go to. If I want to drive an hour, there's, like, we'll move it up to an hour and a half. There's probably, like, I don't know, 8 different fields or 7 different fields I could go to that have, like, airball. So quite a bit, right? Maybe like 6 that are good, right? That have, like, a teams at them and stuff. And the problem isn't the number of people at those fields, right? For me anyway, the problem is that they're all on teams now, and the style of play and this, like, organization has just become so different. 15 years ago, there were all those tournament players on the airball field, but And we might have all had teams, but we weren't like specifically practicing for something in the future, right? You know, maybe there was a tournament in a couple months we were practicing for something. But now I think with the addition of all the leagues everywhere, like the addition of the WCPPL, there's the USXPL, there's the MVPS, there's the MSXL, there's the Ontario Speedball League or something. You know, there's all these different leagues and there's all these regional leagues too, right? Like there's even more local leagues that are local to like a city. And having all those leagues, there's a tournament every like 2 months or whatever, has caused a lot of the teams to just always be practicing, right? We're always just practicing with ourselves. So it's very difficult for like outside people to come in because, you know, sure, there's 50 people on the airball field, but, you know, they're all on teams. There's like, you know, four teams out here practicing. So it's difficult to like just have like jump on random games. Whereas everyone had teams before, but it wasn't really like we were practicing for a specific event or like, you know, practicing for the whole season like we do now. That's how it feels, at least to me. Yeah. People definitely don't want to play without their guys. Yeah, that's true. C-Mac. I think having blind layouts for tournaments could help the throw together type play for sure. I think teams get too focused on learning the layout together, causing FOMO if they don't do that. For sure. For sure. I know I kind of like blind layouts and I kind of don't at the same time. So I'm always like kind of conflicted. With blind layouts. I do like it though, because I like the idea of, I don't know, it's more of what the essence of paintball to me, right? I think paintball, the fields are, they're different every time and it's unique every time. And it's supposed to be, I don't know. I just kind of feel like it's more the essence of paintball. Having blind layouts rather than like practicing the layout over and over and over and over and over. Because, yeah, there's lots of teams that'll just like, you know, practice a bunch before the tournament and they kind of just play the layouts, you know. Chris Raymond. Random draw teams can also be fun alternative to the usual events. I've never done one of those. Never done one. Cool idea, cool ideas. It would be cool to have a place on a field website where you could sign up or throw together teams to get rounds in. For sure. What I really like is, you know, at the gym when I go play basketball, which has been a long time, but I used to go play basketball at the gym like every other day. And, the way it worked there is you just put your name on the whiteboard, right? And then they'll just pick teams and stuff. And it's really kind of easy. So most fields could probably just institute some sort of whiteboard system where you just have a referee, you know, you just come sign up on the whiteboard. Or give your name to the ref, and the ref can come and call, like, whatever five guys, go over there. And then he'll just call a random other five next time, go over there. So you could do it. It just requires, you know, the referees and the fields to actually, like, put in some effort. So, Chris Martin, speaking of layouts, anyone have any of those 3D printed paintball mini map boards? I haven't seen those specific ones, but we did back in the day. I've seen them, not those like brand ones, but they used to have them. We used to have some back in the day. Zach in Grass Valley, yo yo. Hello from the valley. Yeah, but it's not super hard to like implement the whiteboard. It really is not that difficult. At Capital Edge, they did it for a little bit here locally, but it wasn't even the referee. It was like Marvin Gerber, who plays for DMG. Marvin did it all, and it's like, it shouldn't be Marvin doing it, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, it should be some employee or something. Yep. We're going to do another blast for my, not that. We're going to do another blast for this. I am looking for somebody to help me find sponsorships for this YouTube channel. You can kind of see what I'm looking for right there. I need someone that can cold email companies and try to find sponsors. We have like a, I have like a list of sponsors and pricing and all that stuff. So we have all that information. I just need someone to do it for me. You can do it and get a commission. So it would be commission based. So, you know, you get a sponsor and you get a portion of the commission. I think it's worth it for somebody to try and do. I just want to try and offload some of this bullshit that I have to do all the time. I mean, half of this YouTube channel, I mean, not even half. Like, yeah, half of the work that I do on this YouTube channel is nonsense. You know, answering emails and packing orders and just nonsense. Not nonsense. It's just like the stuff that I, you know, if I had more time, I could do better and make better videos and just spend more time on actually videos. So I'm looking for someone to help me hunt down sponsors. If you're interested, just send me an email. We can talk if you want more information or, you know, whatever. There's an email right there. Brad@paintballruinedmylife.com. I'm going to be looking for somebody else too, probably. Once, maybe I figure that out. When everyone had ions, it got hard to tell who has played a bunch and who just got their stuff. Yeah, that's true. Verbal. Yep, we need a beer league paintball. Go play one match on Saturday and play a season and then have the playoffs. The problem is I can't figure out how to make it profitable for a field. Yeah, we've talked about that before. Kind of like make it like softball. You know, like softball teams or whatever. It's just hard. You know, I think a lot of the people that want to play tournaments, you know, they don't, they kind of want to play. My ear, I just noticed my ear is like super freaking red. The other one like that? I can't actually see. Yeah. Yeah, we've thought about it. I think that it'd be fun for a field to try in the summer, right? There's some of these fields like Paintball Fit, you know, fucking ASG. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of fields that are getting these lights and stuff now. I think it'd be fun. It'd be interesting to try to do a 3-month league in the summer that games only were on Friday or Saturday nights. Right, you have like 10 teams, or I don't know how many, however many teams, and you have like games only on Friday nights or Saturday nights, because that's one of, I think, the allures and draws of like softball, like all the, like, you know, co-ed softball, all the, like, you know, softball stuff, is that, I mean, obviously softball, baseball, it's fairly easy, you know, you don't have to like get all fucking crazy athletic, you know, so you can kind of just stand around. Yes. So it's one of the draws, I think, to the softball stuff is it's at night, you know, it's at night in the summer on a weeknight, on a weekend, right? So it's like, it's not Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, or, you know, Tuesday night. It's Friday night, Saturday night only. So you're able to get like those older people, I think, that would be maybe more interested in going. Because if it's in the daytime, I kind of feel like you're going to draw more of the younger people. And what I want is like, you know, 30 to 35 to 55 or 65 or, you know, I don't know, whatever. Maybe. I definitely thought about that a lot. Not a lot. I mean, I haven't really thought about it, but I've always thought that something like that would be cool. I think they, I mean, Verbal said Friday Night Lights League is lit. Is that something, though? I feel like Paintball Fit's kind of done that, no? Huh. Nightball at Fit would be awesome. Hopefully I'm going to go to the Glowball event here at Capital Edge in like 2 weeks or whatever. The 24th, I believe. Yeah, I don't know. Tournament leagues. I'm definitely like, I don't know, you know? I'm definitely really involved with paintball, you know? And sometimes don't like it, you know? Like, I'm like, goddamn. I'm like so on and off about paintball. I mean, not really that on and off. You know, I like it. It's not like that bad. But, you know, it's like, this is like all I ever do. And sometimes I just don't, I'm like, what are we doing? And where are we going? And what the hell's the point of this shit? And I really think the last couple years, I've been, what's the right word? Interested, excited, might not excited. I don't know. Maybe something under excited. what's like a little below excited? Just that like stuff seems to be happening, you know, not. I don't know, say not, but stuff just seems to be happening, you know. The NXL and the PSP was like the same thing forever. The NXL came and it did feel a little bit different. And the past couple years, Sacramento River, Chris. I really want to do it. But the past couple years, like, I don't know. It just seems like Tom Cole has really been trying. Like, not that he didn't try before, but I just feel like stuff's happening, right? I feel like the tournaments are getting better. The webcast is always, I think, getting better. Just because the guys there always really try to make it better. And I feel like the webcast is getting better. They hired both of those like UFC guys. The ESPN thing was cool. They're trying three-man. And now we're going to go inside the Tampa Bay Bucks Stadium for the tournament. And I think Tom was saying that he wants to do more stadiums potentially. So I don't know. Stuff just seems to be happening, which is cool. You know, I'm excited to see like where we go or what happens and like what's going on. But I think that kind of, we all have to really kind of start with getting more people to play paintball. And I honestly think that like, trying to help focus on that intermediate group that's playing paintball is a good idea. Yeah. I'm not sure the stadiums is going to bring the growth other investments could, but is the whole point of it growth too? I just kind of think it's interesting. I mean, who knows what it's going to look like? It could look wacky because obviously, an NFL stadium's fucking huge. So, like, just the playing surface is huge, you know? Like, the paintball field is so much smaller that it just might look kind of weird. But stuff is happening, at least, right? It's better that, like, stuff is happening. Yes, it might not be, like, the perfect solution. But at least stuff is happening, you know? I like that stuff is happening. Like I said, the PSP was just kind of, like, whatever, forever. you know, for 15 years. Nothing ever really changed. So the NXL, at least something is happening. We're doing something, you know. Something. Playing in the stadium won't make my videos perform any better. Well, for sure, but that's not their responsibility, is it? I don't know. It won't make mine perform better. That's for sure. I really don't know. I mean, everyone seems to be against it, but I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. We're going to have to see what it looks like, so. I do know. I really am interested to see what it looks like, because they're supposed to play on Thursday night. It's Thursday night, right? Thursday night in the stadium under lighting, which is pretty cool. I mean, I don't know. I think that's cool. You know, verbal, those could look good. If it's at night, hopefully they can, like, get the lighting just to go on the field so you won't be able to see there's nobody in the stadium. So hopefully we can just get the lighting so bright on the field that all the background is just black. Just black. So it could be interesting. Is it hard to play under lights? I've played in... all kinds of lighting conditions, and I don't know if it's that much more difficult. I mean, you know, the MPPL has played inside before. You know, we played Skyball inside. It's all kinds of stuff. Plus, we don't really know what the lighting is going to be like, so. Yeah, it's a little bit harder to see. I don't know. I don't think it's that much big of a difference. Although, I can't really see paint in the air anyway, so. Dude, I've played in barns with, like, fucking wacky fluorescent tube lighting, you know? I've played in all kinds of crazy places. I imagine the NFL stadium lighting's gonna be not too bad. And, like, every time I look at, like the paintball fit lighting or whatever, it's just so even. It's just so evenly lit that I do wonder what that's like, because obviously having the sun with, like, a big backlight, it kind of helps, like, the paint show up in the air. I don't know. I'm curious. It could look cool. It could look weird. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder, because getting the lights, like, really far away is going to help with, like, making the shadows sharper and harsher, right? So it might help a little bit. They say there's no flicker filming motion slow-mo at the Buck Stadium. Is it LEDs, though? You just said something LEDs. The Buck Stadium lights. Oh, versus the LEDs. Yeah. I mean, if there's no flicker, that means they're using, like, real lighting. Reading your comments, like, super fast. Because don't LEDs, like, no matter, like, I don't actually know how that works. I'm like, because don't LEDs are, like constantly turning on and off, really. Like, that LED right there is constantly turning on and off. I don't know. I mean, they could be, like, tungsten bulbs, but probably not. Cole, he says, if the NFL players can catch a football under those lights, for sure. But the, you know, paintballs are so small and they're moving so fast. Huh. Yeah, I never really thought about the lighting. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't really know. Dude, I've played in so many shitty lighting conditions, you know? So many shitty lighting conditions. Austin, we are. We talking about playing in lights. Yeah, talking about how it would be to play in the Bucks Stadium. It's been so long since I've played under lights that I can't even, like, you know, I can't even tell you. It's been, like, 15 years since I've played at night, so. The yayo makes the paint easier to see. Does it, though? Does it say yayo or yeah, no? Yeah, nano? I don't know what that is. It will be interesting, but ultimately, I'm just excited that stuff's happening, you know? Stuff is actually happening. And we are not just... You know, the new Mac OS, I don't know. Like, why are these rounded corners different sizes on different apps? I am not a fan of that. Like, you know, okay. I like the yayo, though. Fine. I guess the new yayo is Adderall, right? Could maybe use a yellow. Yeah, yellow. I wonder if it works. How is the NXL doing money-wise? I got no idea. No idea. I would assume that the NXL break even. That's what I would assume. And I'm okay with that. Well, I don't really care. You know? I mean, I would like them to make money just so it's like it's more incentive for them to stay doing it, you know, and stay in business. Yeah, I think they probably do make money. It's not like they're losing money, but they're taking all that money and I think reinvesting it. That's what I kind of mean by no money either. So I'm sure that there could be taking money out, but they're just getting it and spending it. Maybe we should do mushrooms. Who's got... We'll have a global mushrooms on... Actually, last time I talked about this, there was a warning sent out to everyone. That don't do it. So, maybe we'll talk about it. Bart takes it and reinvests it in his roster. Yep, pretty much. That's funny. Yeah. Man, I don't know. I've never played paintball on mushrooms before. I don't know if I could do it at night playing glow ball too. Never played glow ball before. Yeah, glow ball's gonna be interesting. I kind of like want to go, but kind of like don't want to go. I don't know. We'll see. It's just gonna be cold. You know, there's no weather. Obviously, it's like too far away to say the weather right now, but. Well, I don't know. It's like 45 degrees outside or something right now, which isn't like. Well, that's probably not 40. It's probably like 50 outside, but it's 54. It's not that cold, but, you know, I don't know. I'm a pussy and I don't want to deal with a cold ass weather. Who wants to do that? Pew pew, Mike. I didn't reply to your email. I will. I suggest for Global that each team shoots a different color. Yeah, I don't know what colors we're using. I have no idea. It's always been yellow, I think. I don't know. Maybe there's green. Something like that. What am I making excuses for? What'd I even say? I don't even... Dude, I don't know what I said 30 seconds ago, so... Oh, the cold. Maybe. Yeah. It's just in the middle of friggin' winter. I don't know. I'd rather it be 110 outside, honestly. I'm that crazy person. Yeah. It's true. So what do we got coming up here? I don't know. What videos am I working on? I talked about the death of the intermediate player. We're going to do that one soon. Working on that. Yep. The death of the intermediate player. And we still have the failed paintball products video that I didn't release, so that'll come out soon. I like cold because then I don't have to worry about camera. Oh, there you go. Dang, you have camera overheating problems still? I mean, I guess if they're in direct sunlight, huh? I've had that problem for sure. I mean, we've all had even phones overheat in, you know, sunlight. For sure. I mean, the camera above me right here won't even record 4K for longer than like 30 minutes or whatever. It just turns itself off, hot or not. It just is like, nope. Boop. Sheesh. Man, I guess it probably is direct sunlight, huh? I just think about like recording limits or like overheating in like normal environments. Do we still have that problem? I don't know. I mean, some cameras probably do, huh? I mean, this is a, obviously it matters like frame rate and all bit rate and all kinds of shit, huh? They used to be real bad. I mean, I think, like, let's see. What was the recording limit on the Canon 7D? I don't know. But I had a Canon 7D when it first came out. And I think that it would only let you record for, like, 5 minutes at a time or something crazy like that. And it would like turn off, which is pretty wild. For well, inside I'm good, yeah, for sure. But running 4K, yeah, 120. 4K 120 will probably do it, huh? Ooh, the FX3 has a built-in fan. I at one point was looking at like strapping ice blocks. Shit. Funny. Yeah, for sure. Hot. I don't mind the heat though. I don't like, I know, I'm weird. I don't know about Texas hot though. Texas hot's a different thing. I don't like the humidity. I'm a California hot person. I know it'll help you cool it down. Don't record in 4K. Probably no reason to. That's what I say. I don't know. I used to record everything in 4K, and then I'm like, why? I mean, I guess with paintball stuff, it might be a little better. It's like this weird oversampling thing too, right? Because even when like, even just because it being 4K, it like looks better than the 1080p footage. Even if you like downscale it, it still looks better. I know, I was thinking about that too. I was like, if you want to like zoom in, yeah, for sure. If you're doing the tracking thing, yeah, you need that extra resolution. Yeah, if 4K, it is good though, especially on these phones and stuff, because most of the like verbal, I assume, you know, most of people are seeing stuff on phones. And man, at 4K, you can zoom in. I mean, you could, like, you know, crop that thing, like, 800% or whatever, and no one's even going to really know that much of a difference. So you could, like, do all kinds of crazy stuff with, like, cropping and stuff. But then it throws off your ass. It just throws off your, like, depth of field, and it looks kind of weird. And then you get guys like me, you're like, what's wrong with this? You get me inspecting the video. YouTube automatically gives 4K upload their better codec with higher bitrate. 1080p is lower quality one unless you are a huge creator. Oh. Yeah, I did two things, really. It's like a lot of my, like, earlier videos, it was like so many reviews and stuff. And having some of that stuff in high resolution is pretty cool because there's so much B-roll and stuff like that. Like, the higher resolution, you're just going to, like, it's just going to look a little better, right? When it's, like, up-close stuff. But now it's, like, all this history stuff. I mean, I'm putting, like, 360p videos in my timeline from, like, 2004, you know? So that footage looks so bad that it, like, it totally doesn't matter. It's, like, you know, now it's, like, I've just 1080p everything. And I don't even, I don't know, you know, but I used to go, yeah, 4K everything. What are we talking about? You'd be more nimble. Yeah, I mean, Go Sports, I mean, all the Major League Paintball stuff is filmed on red cameras too. Well, not all of it, but like, they have a lot of red cameras at the field, which is fucking crazy. I don't get it. I don't think it, I don't know. Verbal, I'll show you what you should get. You need to get a Fujinon. Oh, not that. That's not the window I want. God damn it. I'm looking for something. Man, I guess they don't have, like, I don't know. Whatever, they don't have these names on these anymore. They used to be called something else. This is what you need. You need to get a Fujinon box lens. And we'll just show some pictures of these. Yeah, there you go. Woo, that's what you need. That's what I want to see you at the paintball field with. That's what the NXL need. If the NXL got that thing, let's go. Hopefully this opens up in a big version. Let's go. 25, is it 20? It's actually a 25 to 1,000. Oh. Oh. It's like the dream setup. But, you know, you gotta have, like, you know, I don't even know. Do they even sell those things? Oh, look at this. 200, it's only a quarter million dollars. It's a cool quarter mil. It's a cool quarter mil. It's even crazier than that. Like, whoa. Man, I don't know. I'm probably not gonna be able to find. I'm trying to find like a. The video real quick to show, like, actually how crazy these lenses are. Just to see if we can. There we go. Look at this. So these are the lenses that you're seeing, like, you know, NBA or the NFL filmed with and stuff like that. Just look at this. Is this even far? This one doesn't even look that far. Yeah, that wasn't even that far. Anyway, you guys want to learn some other camera stuff? So what's cool about these camera lenses is they're par focal. So the focus spot never changes. So you can focus on something and just zoom out and it stays focused on that one spot. Whereas, like, you know, normal camera lenses, if you zoom out, can get kind of weird. It depends. So those Big lenses are also par focal, which is kind of cool. So, yeah. The NXL needs to spend $75 million in upgrading their cameras. Yay. There is a camera operator. We're going to go from Houston, Texas. I follow on Instagram. I love that kind of stuff. I want to be a camera operator. I could do it. The NXL needs to hire me to be a camera operator. Not really, actually. I told someone the other day I want to be a... I want to be like Go Sports or NXL's like a consultant. I want to just walk around the tournament and be like, that sucks. Change that. Change this. We need to rearrange that. I just want to like walk around and tell everyone stuff sucks. Be like, change this. Move that over there. Camcorder. That's what I've been saying. Verbal. I'm all about the camcorder. All about it. The Sony PXW whatever. It's a 24 to 480 equivalent. Crazy. This is what I've been saying. I was talking to someone else about this. I don't know why, like, we're using still cameras to take video. It makes no sense. Like, I really think that if I was to film paintball at the paintball field, I would probably be using a video camera just like that. It just makes way, way more sense. Like, the ergonomics are better. The zoom is better. Like, everything is better because it's a video camera. Like, it's actually designed for taking video. It's like the FX3, it's really a still camera. You know, it's not a video camera. You know, it takes camera lenses and like, it's a normal, it's a camera. It's not a video camera. It's a still camera. So, I don't know. A couple of years ago, it just dawned on me. I'm like, why? But I don't have a use for them, really. So, I mean, this works perfectly fine for me. It's like, you know, all the skate videos and, like, all these other things that people do, they all use video cameras. Like, actual, like, a camcorder. It just makes no sense. I don't know. I've looked into cameras like that, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. There's a bunch of really, really cheap ones on Amazon. Like, we can watch the intro to this video again, and this the intro to the live stream, the new title card, was all filmed with, like an $80 video camera. Yeah, cameras, video cameras, I'm all about it. It's just so easy to pick it up and start filming. You're like, oh, turn it on, boop, and you're good. You're good, it's focused, and you're recording, and everything's good. You don't have to, like, turn it on and, like, you know, with these DSLR, like, mirrorless cameras, there's just so much nonsense you got to think about, right? Where you just, like, just turn it on. Will Ball for Soup, I've not even actually seen him... anything he's recorded. I'm all about normal cameras. So, like, let's go. I don't know exactly which camera we filmed with, but if we go to, like, that would go to Amazon. If we type, like, shitty video cam, whatever, video camera, like, this camera right here that's $52 is what we filmed the intro to the live stream on. So a camera that's like this, just a shitty nonsense camera, is what we filmed this on right here. I'm going to click over and it's going to play.
From my spare room in Sacramento, this is Paintball Ruined My Life Live with Brad Johnson. Tonight, an NXL rules investigation. The NXL finally switched to limited paint. And of course, more pro news.
You know, obviously it doesn't look amazing. It doesn't look great. Chris Raymond right there. It was actually Chris Raymond's camera. He did all the camera work. You know, it doesn't look amazing, but it's a $50 camera, you know? So I love it, and I actually like the way it looks, so I'm about it. You know, I really would like a Canon GL2. You know, I think we should start filming on tape. Verbal, you should get one of these. Whoa. Verbal, get a GL2. Get one of these bad boys. And then you'll be like super cool. But you gotta get like, you know, they use mini DV tapes and stuff like that. So you gotta like buy tapes and stuff. Super cool. Okay. Looks great. I love the cheap cameras. So much fun. Chris did the camera work. That is why it's good. You know, I don't know. I'd be like holding it like a fucking, trying to vlog with it or some shit. So good. I love it. I love the cheap little freaking cameras. I really want like, you know, a real film camera. That would be really cool. Oh, there it is. The Sony HDR CX220. It's definitely not HDR either. It's definitely, it does not have high dynamic range. I'm going to tell you that much. The Sony HDR CX2220. $125. $300. But this is like old too. So this is like an old camera. So there's like, you know, newer 2013. So there's like newer cheap versions of it too. So, you know, it's just some shitty camera. I mean, it wasn't probably then, but now it's like, man, our phones are so much better, you know, technically in every way. Any idea why the X7 Phenom breaks so much paint? That's a hard question to answer. If your Tippmann 98 is able to shoot the same paintballs, but your Phenom breaks them, I would first ask you where they're actually breaking. Is it breaking in the barrel, or are you having problems with it in the cyclone feed? So I would probably try to figure out where it's breaking and like when it's breaking. So is it like when you're shooting really fast? Is it just like, you know, you're sitting there and bang, you shoot one ball and it breaks? Or yeah. Because it's hard. There's quite a few different things that could, you know, make that happen. I would first try to, like, whittle down when it's happening. I would say most likely causes of a Phenom breaking paint more than a 98. I don't know. I mean, first thing I would probably look at is the ball latch. The barrel, the ball detent, or the ball latch is the piece that stops paint from rolling forward. I'd first look at that. Because those guns are so simple. They like work or they don't, you know? Because the Phenom, it shouldn't be harder on paint than the 98, that's for sure. Probably not much better or worse, really. It's probably about equivalent. I think that they would like you to think it's better, but some brains is right. Not really, though. MSRP is 2000. I don't know. Some different format. I don't know. We didn't go skiing today like I was supposed to. We're going on Wednesday. We were supposed to go skiing today. And I was not supposed to do the live stream today, but here we are. Because I was going to go skiing Sierra at Tahoe. Didn't work out. I got a fart. Just a little one. I don't know. We got to think of some more segments. I really like the intro to the live stream now. So now I feel like we got to make it like a late night TV show or late night talk show or something like that. The intro's all late night talk showy. Is it Sierra Ski Ranch now? I thought they changed the name of it. That's why I was like, I don't know if Sierra thought it was right. Is 1750 too much for an 05 excessive ego? I actually don't know. I am not sure. It sounds like a lot, but, you know, again, those guns are pretty rare. So it's not just a regular 05 ego. You know, that's like $1,500 more than I would pay for an 05 ego. I don't honestly know. I don't know. I mean, I know two people that own those guns, but they've owned them for so long that I don't even think they would know. Huh. Old camcorders at garage sales. One of the problems with those old cameras, though, is that there's a lot of rubber internally, right? Because you have, like, moving mechanisms and stuff in there because they're tapes, right? So you put the tape in and there's a bunch of shit that moves around. So one of the problems is there's so many moving parts in those old cameras that they're bad. So a lot of them are bad. A lot of them just don't work because the rubber pieces have deteriorated or weird things have gone wrong. So you have to, like, buy a bunch of stuff. And, like, some of those cameras were really popular. The ones that are really good have become really popular again. So even the replacement parts have gotten, like, crazy expensive. That's really the reason I probably don't have, like, an actual tape video camera. It's just because I don't want to deal with, like, the pieces and, like, things going bad. Because it's definitely a thing. I have two film still cameras because they don't really have parts that go bad. Proprietary charging's an ad pain in the ass. There's just a lot of, like, I don't know, little weird things that make it hard. Other than Tippmann. What about other than Tippmann? You would pay more than a used LV2 for an old ego? Me? No. But definitely people that are, like, collecting cool old stuff, for sure. Wait, what did you say? Dude, can you camcord this right now?
I don't know.
NXL! What's on my list? Let's see if anything else I can talk about. I don't think so. I think I've run out of randomness. Well, I guess we did get news of this happening. Allen Paintball Products, very, very long time paintball company, is going out of business. Effective January 1st, 2026, Allen Paintball Products, Inc. is closing down. There's been a good long run. The final numbers are as following. 35 plus years. Over 25,000 orders, over 15.5 million in sales. Really? That number doesn't seem right. I don't know, maybe. I just feel like it should be higher. Allen Paintball, APP, they've made, I mean, American-made plastic products since 1987, which is crazy. Yeah, they just make all kinds of stuff. They made lots of paintball products for a long time. I mean, their website, most people would say it's awful. I would say it's amazing, personally. Look at it, it's so great. But yeah, they're going away. Lots of stuff, though. Closeout stuff. Some images aren't working. I think maybe their most popular thing is I think about these hoppers when I think of them. I think of hoppers. I think of, like, hoppers that look like that or like this. the APP hoppers. Oh, I remember this too. The little like barrel thing. It's like a scope or whatever, right? APP. Kind of surprised. I don't know if I'm surprised they were still around in the first place, but get your 50 round hoppers now, Chris says in the chat. Yeah, they made some of those better 50 round hoppers, right? All these right here. $10 too. I mean, they're not a lot of money. So for sure, if you, you know, want, make sure you get the 50 rounder. They got their 150 rounder. Yeah, they made a lot of like just random stuff, like random accessories and. Miscellaneous stuff. Armbands. Some reverse drop fours, it looks like. Okay. A dog bone, whatever that is. I don't even know what that is. Is a dog bone. Yeah, so get your 50 run hoppers while you can. Or you can buy Allen Paintball too. I noticed that they said it said it was for sale. If we go back out to the beginning. Business for sale, so I don't know. If you live in Ohio or something, it'd be kind of cool. I mean, they have like all these machines and stuff. Imagine being able to make plastic products in the USA. That would be crazy. Huh. Very expensive, though, obviously, unfortunately, to make stuff here. Those 50-round APP hoppers would explode when you took a shot. Not super surprised. Super surprised about what? Their hoppers sucking and they're going out of business? I mean, I don't think it had anything to do with them exploding. I don't know. I know a lot of people have liked those for a long time. The Winchester, obviously, is probably the most popular. I always liked the 100-round, like, multi-cow hoppers they sold. There were a bunch of different companies who put their name on it, but, like, Empire and GOG made them. I liked those ones, the 50-cal multi-caliber. No, the 100-round multi-caliber hopper. Okay, I'm leaving. I'm going to go to dinner now. Going to... I don't know where we're going. Some Thai restaurant. Gotta be somewhere in 15 minutes. Yeah, I really liked those like GOG 100-round ones. They were just like cool shaped. They were like made well and they were cool shaped and they actually fed well. Didn't I make like a hopper test video? I swear to God, I did like, yeah, I did do that. Look at how skinny I am. I'm like fat now. It's crazy. Looking crazy. So I probably weigh like 85 pounds in this photo, in this video. No, I probably weigh. Ooh, let's watch four. Oh, Arnold, for some reason. Let's see. We watch it in 4K. See? Wow, I got rid of that hat too. I sold that hat a long time ago. Or did I sell it? I don't know. What I'm really kind of curious about, this was like the best gravity fed hopper at the time. There's that GOG one. I think it ended up being, fuck, I don't even know what the hell this chart means though. I don't even know. I don't know what those charts mean. We have to like watch the video. The Empire Basic Hopper got a good score. The Primo got an 11. I don't know. You guys can go back and watch that if you want. I really don't want to hear myself talk, so that's why we're not watching that. In Search of an Original Dying Vision. I don't know, I didn't like those. They were not bad. They were cool because they were so futuristic and unique. They were just kind of cool. Why was the quality of JT and Die Apparel so much better back in 2007? I don't know. I would say Die, dude, I haven't like, they don't even make stuff anymore. You know, I would say that JT and Die don't even really make apparel anymore. You know, JT makes their pants. And I don't know if it was better. 07? I mean, the Die stuff was pretty good in 2007. I don't know if the JT stuff was. I don't think I would say the JT stuff was. I don't know if the JT stuff has ever been made well. Their apparel. The Die stuff was good, though. Like the C7 and like C6 and whatever. That stuff was good. I would say the Die stuff is still on par with how it is now. It's just different. You know, the C7 stuff back in the day was like much heavier weight and thicker, and it had more panels, and there was more stitching, and there was just way more to the pants. You know, it just seemed like a lot more. Whereas now everything's kind of like lightweight and minimal. So I don't know. I don't know if it's better now or worse. It's just a lot different. Just because the products are so much different. But there are plenty of companies that are making like good pants and like jerseys and stuff that are made really well. Like that Hydra stuff we talked about was made really well. I really like the Kinetic pants. So there's quite a few of the companies that are making like pretty good stuff. I'm with you on the padding. I hate padding on jerseys. I detest padding on jerseys and pants, so I don't like it at all. I hate it. I always have. I don't know. I could see the JT stuff, they kind of did make some better stuff maybe only in 2007. Maybe it was like 1 or 2 years. Because I'm kind of thinking of a pair of pants that are pretty good I had that were like olive from JT. I don't know. Pants. We'll answer this one. Any recommendations on a gun that's our Milsim Woods Ball Hopper Fed reliable other than a Tippmann? The Planet Eclipse EMF 100. Yep, for sure. It's like the only option, I think. There's a couple other ones like, oh, you said that aren't Tippmanns though. Not really then. It's really just Planet Eclipse. Those 08 JTs. Yeah, I think about the 08 stuff and I think about like Dynasty and those huge fucking pants they wore for a little bit. Probably when they shot Luxes and stuff like that. I think Dave Baines, Dave and Glenn Takamoto were on the team. For sure. Those weren't as bad. I'm thinking like the JT team pants from probably like 04 and 05. Those things were not that good. For sure. I don't know. Okay, guys. I'm going. I gotta go. I got 10 minutes. Come back next Monday. You know, we'll be here Monday. I don't know. Make sure to leave a comment and like the live stream. It's very helpful. Like it before you leave. And